Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and, how about that Apollo Gauntlet, huh? Huh? And with me, I have...
I'm drunk and loopy, I'm Mark.
Hey, it's my job! when were you drinking?
I let, a couple of days ago.
And you didn't invite me?
It was far away, and I went sound kind of stumbling, drunk, crazy. Well, not crazy, but more like, I think more like a drunk, loopy high. As I'm like,
oh man. Look at this.
What? We're no other time.
I would have loved to see Drunk Mark. I would pay money for that.
Many will. I know people that will
pay
to do that.
$5 and a bag of Funyuns.
Okay, that sounds all right. All right, I gotta accept that.
Actually, I'll be a little generous. I'll buy you 2 beers, give you $10, and then, a box from Popeye's.
Okay.
What? You don't like Popeye's? Everyone likes Popeye's.
I like Popeye's.
Just wish they had one that was more convenient to where I lived instead of, all the way in downtown or whatever.
Damn.
Or, driving on the turnpike between here and Orlando. Seriously, Why did we just get stuck with too many KFCs and not enough churches or Popeyes in my neighborhood? I don't know, man.
I mean, we used to have a churches, but that got closed down a couple of years ago.
Oh damn!
Yeah,
there's one literally 5 minutes from where my band rehearses. So if I ever decide I want to get some good chicken and those honey cheddar biscuits, man.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we are now at episode 42, huh? 8 more until we hit 50. It's 2 months from now.
Grand old 50.
Jeez, how much longer is it until... Shit, it's another 2 months until the 1 year anniversary, I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. I just realized we're close to a year of doing this. Goddamn.
Yep. Seems like such a long, long time ago.
Yes, one could say... approximately 10.5 months, to be exact.
Yeah. Such humble beginnings. Had a bad mic then. I don't miss those times.
It's okay, I had a mediocre microphone too. And keep in mind, I'm the one producing this shit, so I have no excuse. I mean, I can't just force you to buy the most advanced tech when you need it. You need that money for stuff. Like booze.
Yeah.
So anyway, formalities. So how have things been going on your end, man?
Well, you see, I do got something to talk about this time. I saw 2 movies this week, since the last time we met. I saw Baby Driver, and today, I saw Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh yeah, I saw that Saturday, I think.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say, I'm keeping short, both are really good movies. Baby Driver is so fucking awesome. Everything about it, it's just, I love it. From the music cues, I like the characters, and I definitely dig the style a lot when it comes to the driving stunts and, how, the one character that kind of almost gave me a bit of a chill was John Hamm, especially near the end where I'm not gonna say nothing, but I'm leaving it at that.
Yeah. Look out for him.
And, yeah.
Well, man, because the second time I saw this movie, I tried to pay attention to something, because I don't know if you saw in the credits, but there's 2 cameos, Restaurant Patrons,
yep,
2, Killer Mike and Big Boy. I tried looking for them this time, I couldn't see it. I don't know if I missed something.
I did spot them. I think they were at the Russell with Kevin Spacey talking to them for some reason. I don't know, I guess want to be on I don't know, RTJ4 or maybe Big Boy's next album.
Hey man, Kevin Spacey could drop some bars, man. or maybe they're just gonna open up a song with a sample from House of Cards. Oh,
man, that'd be amazing. But yeah, yeah, Baby Driver, that is a good movie, and Spider-Man Homecoming, yeah, that's a pretty good movie. I will say after the abortion that was the last 2 amazing, well, not so amazing Spider-Man, this one is, Marvel gave it the right treatment. It did feel it got the right tone. The characters, they're actually the right age, because they don't feel like we're 30 fucking years old. Well, still Tom Holland Spider-Man, I do like him a lot. And I will say the scenes with, you know, the girl Michelle played by Zendaya, that got me kind of laughing a lot. Like she says, I'm like, why the fuck you here? Like, yeah, I'm just here.
It's like, she was basically, what's the word I'm looking for? She was the tsundere of the movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Except I found her funny and likable.
I know, right? Why can't all tsunderes be like that?
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, basically, take a lesson from Marvel Studios.
Someone's got to tell that to every light novel writer over in the J-Pan right now, trying to make the next Sword Art Online.
Oh, damn it.
But, yeah, I saw the movie, and I liked it. I thought it gave Spidey some much-needed dignity after, you know, Tom Holland was a lot of fun. There was some neat action scenes here and there, but the one thing that kind of felt off for me was that the movie is very teenager-y. And I mean, like, the actual, like, emotional stakes of the movie are things that you would only care about if you're in your freshman year of high school. So just try to think back to that mindset if you're any older. You're like, oh man, I need a date for the dance. Or, dude, we were supposed to build my Lego Death Star together. Or just detention.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I definitely sense that in the movie, but I do feel like it kind of fits in within the character. Like, you know, Pierce trying to, you know, he's still a teenager. He gotta, you know, deal with that shit, which I kind of get.
Yeah, I know, but, like, I think there's still a way to sort of make, like, teen-level drama, like, that sort of, again, that level drama sort of engaging in a way, and this one was, like, it felt like it was trying too hard to maybe appeal to the teenage crowd, to the point where it can be a little alienating if you're, like, me in your, like, 20s.
Yeah, I did sense some like this. I was like, yeah, I guess these teenagers dealing with that, but I did feel a bit in it, but it didn't really bother me all that much, to be honest. I mean, I saw the flick.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It has Hannibal Buress as a gym teacher calling Captain America a traitor. Also, there's bodega cats in this one. And who doesn't love a good bodega cat?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't notice that bodega cat.
It was so cute, I wanted to pet it. But yeah, good to know that Spidey finally has some dignity again. Oh, also the kid from the Grand Budapest Hotel plays the bully in this one, and he calls Peter Penis.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, and like the way, like, yeah, he's a bully, but he's not, like, you know, the more modern, he's not the dumbass, but more the guy that's just, you know, basically bullies with his big mouth. Like, he'll just talk shit to you.
Well, I mean, come on, if they wanted to make a more realistic bully, they would have had him sending threatening messages on Twitter. Come on, get with the times, Marvel Studios. It's all about doxing now, come on. Actually, don't dox people, dox is bad.
That's bad. If I get that idea.
Yeah, so that's basically about it, and now is the part where we move on to the song discussion as usual. Of course, there will be a link to a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and check out any of these songs for yourself if they pique your interest. So, starting from the top, indie noise rockers Proto Martyr, who had an album out in 2015 and then released a single on the 2016 Adult Swim Singles program, are already at it with yet another new album. They announced it today, in fact. It's called Relatives in Descent, and it's due out last week of September. The first single and video have been released, called A Private Understanding, and again, it's basically about what you would expect from a proto-martyr track. The verses have this very atonal kind of chord progression with, you know, clean lack of distortion. The lyrics, I guess they're sort of trying to describe, like, either someone on his deathbed, or they're from the point of view of an individual describing someone on their deathbed. There's a lot of lines in here about, like, you know, watching someone pass away in peace, hating the sounds of trumpets. Something about a reference to an old Greek philosopher whose name escapes me at the moment. Yeah, this is kind of a rambling stream of conscious style that it's delivered in. Of course, like, the bridge and the ending do get a little more clear with a more deliberately clear chord progression, but, you know, with pretty heavy distortion. And, I mean, yeah, it's a proto-martyr jam. Plenty of weird offbeat noise, if that's what you're looking for and what you need. And so Alex himself actually had some things he wanted to say about this song, so...
Okay, Protomartyr. This is not what I was expecting from the name, but, I mean, I like the slow, brooding, jam rock style this song has going for it. I'm not quite so sure on the spoken word, Def Jam style lyrical approach. Just everything just all feels a bit bluesy and clashes a bit too much with the rock musicality of the song, but I'll just assume this song is an exception to what their norm is and just pick up on these guys another time.
Thank you for your thoughts, sir. And now let's move on to a couple of hip-hop songs. Well, okay, a majority of these next few songs might actually be hip-hop songs. This is a very Mark-centric week, if you think about it. So, we're starting, of course, with this week's entry into the Adult Swim Singles program. Well, this past week's entry, from a hip-hop artist named Holt, spelled H-X-L-T, you know, like the whole knowledge thing, with a track called Super Fun. Yay!
Super Fun! Alright, we'll play the track. This is the track. So, like, I do get this feeling of, I don't know how to say it, but it does have more of that, I want to say either mid-90s New York sound I got from the beat. I'm not very clear about it, but yeah, it does sound like a very, like, well, some of a bang with that.
I kind with of, that distinguishable like, sound. Well, listening to it, I almost kind of thought, like, this is what Biz Markie would sound like with trap beats.
Yeah.
Little
you know,
bit.
You know, basically, like, and I mentioned it, and now I'm thinking of that. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, the song as a whole, it's very nice sounding. The beat isn't too loud, the vocals and lyrics aren't too obnoxious. It's just, you know, about relaxing, having fun, and it's a very comfy song at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much the music you put in when we want to, you know, just chill, relax, like, you know, just do whatever.
Let's put on the holds and let's all just hang around the couch and watch some movies with my best friends, man.
And get high. Maybe, I don't know. Listen to that shit.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a given, man.
Yeah.
So now let's move on to the next song, which I could also argue is a very chill, relaxed tune in a sense. Also from a rapper. The new single from Kamea, member of the XXL freshman class. Good time to release a single for, well, any of them, really, especially since they did the whole, like, big cypher thing a couple weeks ago.
I need to hear that.
Yeah, so, go ahead.
This is, like, very chill. I will say, this is also reminding me of something, like, the way Shrouds, it is reminding me of that, something like you hear from Salt and Pepper, like, back in the 90s. Like, yeah, I do get that coming from Kamea, and if it's just from the production wise, like it does sound like something that you would definitely hear from either Salt and Pepper or Queen Latifah or any female MC or just anybody who's doing that style. And well, and yeah, it's really like it's all another chill song. Like I mean, it's a right song. I do think Kamea is a pretty good rapper from what I heard. Like yeah, I mean yeah, it's a pretty like. You know, another, you know, chill song. Yes. It is like the message, like, you know, boost you up. Like, I think that means, like, boost you up, get, like, a motivational thing is what I got from it.
Yeah, it's kind of, for the record, the song is called Build You Up.
Yeah, Build You Up.
That's kind of the lyrical motif of, like, she's more or less addressing, like, ladies that are either single or in relationships. Yeah. As, like, you kind of got to have, like, respect for yourself, a partner that'll build you up, otherwise what's the point? And yeah, it's a very relaxed, kind of like in the vein of like New Jack Swing or like even TLC. So it's, again, it's nice. It's a very pleasant, chill out summer jam. And now we move on to, surprisingly, a new single from Dawn. Yeah, I believe they released Redemption Heart earlier in the year. And she's obviously still riding high with, I think there was actually another song she released, like, before this, but after Redemption Heart.
Yeah, I think so. I think, did she do an album last year, too, or wasn't that, or was it just a single?
I'm not entirely sure, but, yeah, this new single is called Gravity, and, well, it certainly has a kind of, very futuristic-sounding, weightless vibe to it. So, like, yeah, there's kind of this four-on-the-floor beat. There's this very shaking, kind of like maracas, but also a little bit of other Latin percussion in there. And the lyrics kind of have this very sort of deranged viewpoint of, like, her in the midst of a failing relationship.
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah, I did get it from the song. I will say this. I was getting a SZA vibe from this. I'm not saying, I mean, I'm not, maybe because I'm listening to, that, listening to her album, like, a lot, like, back then, I feel like, okay, this is, because I did get that when you said something, I don't know, you dumb niggas, or like, some other shit like that. I did get that, like, at least from one of the lyrics. But, yeah, but yeah, this is some very, like, futuristic R&B sounding shit I got from here. And, yeah, yeah, this, it's just pretty solid from Dawn. Actually, it's pretty good from what I heard.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I think I may have messed up. Redemption actually came out last year.
Yeah, I had to correct myself
on the spot there. Sorry, folks. Look, I make mistakes sometimes, okay? I'm only human. And now for the next song up on the list, the only real metal song of note for the past week, one of my current favorite progressive metal acts, Atomiron, which thankfully is filling the void left by Mastodon, you know, deciding to go full, like, prog rock and alternative metal, and Gojira kind of backing off of the epic heaviness of, you know, their pre-Magma material. They announced their latest album, Et Liber Eris, coming out the first week of November, and they premiered the first single, The Sentinel. And much like A Sentinel, this is a very big-sounding song. Like, it lures you in with this very twangy, echoing guitar melody, and then once the actual rest of the band kicks in, there's this very complicated, noodling groove to the guitars, and the drums, of course, are very off-kilter, maintaining this kind of 1 and 2 and 3, 1 and 2 and 3, 1 and 2 and 3, sorry to bust out the rhythm nerd in me, that kind of off-kilter rhythmic instrumentation for the verses, and I think the solo as well. Then, of course, the choruses have a much heavier, thrashing, groovy 4-4 beat to them, and this whole song is just an absolute beast of a metal track, and if it keeps up like this with whatever other singles they release forward, this could yet again be another killer entry in the Atomiron catalog. Now, let's throw it over to Alex, who has some thoughts on this as well.
Atomiron, I think I'm saying that right. Sounds like a Pokemon name. pretty tight prog metal. I like it. And the metal sucks piece for this song said that this has an Opethian flair to it, and I can agree. It has that same kind of structure of pre-Watershed Opeth in the guitar lines and the dual clean-heavy vocal approach. It really sounds like if it's a track off of Deliverance than anything else. And I know I harp on this a lot, I know, but stop using drum samples as triggers! Please! Sorry, that's just my inner Glenn Fricker coming out. But, yeah, this song is solid, and I'll keep an eye out for the album in November. Good stuff. Viva Italia!
Thank you for that. And now, let's move on to DJ Shadow. He's been riding, you know, a pretty big hype train this past year or two, thanks to his big collaboration with RTJ, but now it seems like he has another excellent trick up his sleeve. Guess who with?
None other than Danny Brown.
Oh!
He got a new song. He got a new song I call Horror Show, and well, what's up to say about this? Danny Brown killed this track. DJ Shadow as well. I will say I do like the production. It is definitely fine with this. Because like I said, it's called Horror Show. It has a horror show beat with these wild synths and... Oh.
Yeah, those creepy synths, kind of like an old school sci-fi B-movie. Hell, this almost kind of sounds like an MF Doom beat in a way.
And also with this banging percussion... because of the conference room. I give it I think even after I talked to the person, Danny Brown is killing with these like tracks he's been on lately. You know, between this and the track he did on the Silicon Valley soundtrack, this is definitely a fire track.
Yes, it's, you can't really say anything more than it's fire. Top to bottom, and if you want more DJ Shadow, this is actually part of a surprise EP that he released, I think about the same time news of the track came out, so you can just look that up for yourself and, you know, get some more DJ Shadow. And now, moving on to yet another rapper who apparently is still writing, you know, pretty high from some hype this year. I think they had an album earlier this year, All-American Badass, Joey Badass.
And he released not one, not two, but three tracks this time. I think at least about time he released it holding this day to be to commemorate his late friend Capital's he released three songs right there, they're called Found Your Bends, Too Lit, and Love Is Only a Feeling. And just my opinion for mostly all of them, because I will say this. There are like last few songs, it's just very has this laid back chill vibe, and it got some jazz. Where, Russell is it's a bit of jazz rap because you do get that a lot, especially from Too Lit and Found Your Bends. It's some laid back tracks I got from most of these songs, and I say. It is more like some of a 90s vibe, but not like a throwback, more of, his style of it, which I give Joey Badass a lot. Like, he does that. He's a dope rapper and all that. And I dig some of the songs. Maybe I think I dig Found Your Bends. Maybe more to it. Second, that was the only feeling might be the last, ranking. But yeah, some of them are pretty solid. Got probably go back to one or two of them. But I like the fact that he's doing this thing for his late friend. I can respect that, and I do respect that he's been putting some song of his. And he's definitely from what I heard, a dope rapper. The rapper that those that that wants something more than just your latest trap shit. So if you like rappers like him, check him out. It's pretty all right. Pretty good.
Yeah, I unfortunately didn't get a chance to hear these songs before the recording, but from what I've been hearing, there's a lot of hype around this guy, and apparently his latest release was pretty good, so I have to get around to that at some point, if I find the time. I never have enough time. Or sometimes I have too much time, and I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Time.
Yeah, the last song this week, easily the biggest one, we have a new single from an artist that we haven't heard from, at least any new music from, in 4 years. None other than pop singer Kesha, who, for the past 4 years has unfortunately been involved in a really big legal struggle regarding sexual assault allegations against producer-songwriter Dr. Luke. Fuck Dr. Luke, by the way.
Who's been fired, by the way.
Yeah, thank God for that.
He flew the coop.
Yeah, now we have the first single from her upcoming new album. It's a track called Praying, and compared to where she was about 4 years ago, where most of what we heard from her were these, really flashy party, jams, this one is a more deeply intimate, personal, big piano pop ballad, aided in part by production from, longtime Macklemore collaborator Ryan Lewis.
Oh, okay. Oh, so that's where it went.
Yep. That is where he went. And, of course, the lyrics are, given her past 4 years or so, a very soulful account of, just trying to power through difficult, tough times. And the main thing that struck me, as someone who only has a surface-level understanding of Kesha's music, is that, holy crap, she is a goddamn fantastic vocalist. When she wants to sing and belt, she absolutely nails it, and is probably one of the best that's been around in a while. How come I never knew this about her?
I have no idea. I mean, other than the song I only know Kesha maybe by surface value, mainly her singles and all that. But yeah, girl's got a good voice. Girl could definitely sing, and hopefully, I hope whenever that one comes out, I hope she does well. Like, you know, after all the shit she went through that year. And I hope, like, some good can come out of this.
Yeah, she deserves to have some, you know, satisfaction and happiness following all the bullshit. And from this song, it looks like this album is probably going to be a very emotionally cathartic thing for her, and I'm actually interested to check it out. So that sums up basically all the noteworthy new songs of the past week. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, there shall be news. So see you in a bit. And we are back. So we got about 5 news topics here to discuss. First off, talking about SoundCloud, aka every rapper's favorite dumping ground. I'm sure Mark knows that from experience.
Yep. And on this story, somebody getting laid off. More like 40%, y'all.
Yeah, 40%. So the company announced recently that it will be laying off 40% of its total staff in order to cut costs and stay independent amidst a lot of rumors that have been going around that it was going to be acquired by various companies like Spotify or Apple and Google. So just to put this in perspective, they have 420 employees total. They're laying off 173. Wait, they actually have 420 employees. 420, oh, woo! Shit. That would certainly explain why, you know, hookers and weed rappers dominate the place all the time. And in addition to that, they're shutting down their offices in both London and San Francisco, leaving only their main headquarters in Berlin and an office in New York. Now, I have a question here. If the point of managing an online business like this, that you could theoretically run from anywhere, is to, you know, save costs and be independent, why would you have an office open in L.A., a.k.a. the place where every freaking tech company is fighting each other for dominance? Like, that doesn't strike me as a wise business decision. It's kind of pointless, man. Silicon Valley has a lot of bodies in it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but yeah, they want you back out there. Silicon Valley ain't no joke.
It's like, what were you even... Okay, I can understand the main headquarters, and maybe New York, if you absolutely needed a major American metropolitan area to operate in. But okay, London and L.A., isn't that kind of pushing it a little? Plus, like, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to be acquired soon enough, because let's be honest, I think Nash from Radio Dead Air put it best. If you can't figure out how a company is supposed to be making money, chances are they're basically looking to get bought out. And, okay, I know SoundCloud has paid memberships, but given that theirs don't even offer, like, an installation plan, you just kind of have to pay all out the ass at once for unlimited uses. Although, maybe they've changed that recently, who knows. But, yeah, like, if that's your plan, like, are you sure you don't want to get bought out? I mean, come on, what's the worst thing that would happen if a big company bought you? Purging all the no-name rappers who want you to check out their mixtapes? Featuring guest verses from Politics and Pink Guy, and also maybe XXXTentacion.
Little Peep.
Smoke Perp.
Little Pump.
Rapper who likes weed and alcohol. Yeah, pretty. Yep. There's only so many jokes we can make about, you know, SoundCloud rappers, check out my mixtape. But yeah, so. Again, maybe getting bought out wouldn't be the worst thing, because at least then y'all could afford some quality control. I mean, unless you have quality control already, in which case, wow, you guys suck at this. But that's what we'll see how the story takes off from there. And speaking of rappers, our next story. So last week we talked about 2 big new songs from none other than Tyler, the Creator. And as it turns out, he does have a new album on the horizon, coming out not this Friday, but next Friday, the 21st, with the ever-so-colorful title of Scumfuck Flower Boy. Which, if he's talking about himself, then that's an appropriate title, I suppose. So, yeah, we got the album artwork, which kind of looks like the typical Odd Future, like, weird sort of collage pastiche of various elements just kind of randomly cobbled together. It's like he's staring out over a mountain, like, cliff range. There's big-ass bees everywhere. Not the bees! Not the bees!
Ah! Run Nicolas Cage!
And, you know, clouds and sunflowers and whatnot. And, of course, the track list, as we mentioned, includes the aforementioned Who That Boy, Who That Is, Who That Boy, and of course 911 / Mr. Lonely, in addition to other tracks like Where the Flower Blooms, Pothole, Garden Shred, and I Ain't Got Time.
Okay, and apparently it got some low-key features, because I don't see the features like on the chat list, but I think the more like either low key or he doesn't want to listen. Like, I know, like, there's A$AP Rocky, Frank Ocean, Lil Wayne, Estelle. Okay.
Oh, hey, Garnet's here. And, you know, I'm not surprised. You know, Tyler the Creator does love himself some Cartoon Network. So.
Yep. See, they think about like this. Well, okay, shit. Not this Friday, but the next Friday after that. Okay. Well, damn. Look, we're working on that quick, since he got that. And the Viceland show. And the Adult Swim show, which... When's it coming again, Tyler? You said summer, right?
I mean, I would hope so. I mean, Adult Swim is, you know, keeping pretty on the hype train. Like, okay, they, you know, they're just about to end Mike Tyson Mysteries this upcoming weekend. At least for now, the season finale.
Yeah,
they premiered that weird Apollo Gauntlet shit. They just finished the season of Dekker and are apparently starting another season of Dekker, which, seriously, is that a prequel, a sequel, an interquel? I don't know, but...
Intersequel? Shit.
Wait, why am I debating the continuity of freaking Dekker? Who cares? I mean, it's amusing enough, but, like, yeah, who cares about continuity? Although... Who knows? Maybe this will be the show that premieres like once Mike Tyson Mysteries finishes. It could happen. But yeah, I am looking forward to a new Tyler album. I'm just, again, hoping I have more attachment to it. The Cherry Bomb, which, meh.
I kind of forgot about Cherry Bomb.
Exactly. Pretty much the only like song that clicked with me was Buffalo, and that was about it. But I believe in redemption, so. Moving on to a sort of announcement metal thing, not necessarily a show, but kind of a show, kind of a tour, but mainly a cruise. The annual 70,000 tons of metal, get it? It's a pun about how big the ship is? Laugh, damn it! But yeah, this is, as always, sort of like a 5-day cruise to the Caribbean. As always, it'll depart from, let me see here, it'll depart from Fort Lauderdale to Turks and Caicos Island, and then back again, and we have the first wave of bands, because, you know, they always book a ton of bands for this shit, playing on this voyage, which takes place from February 1st to February 5th. The first 16 bands include Aeternum, Cannibal Corpse, Dark Tranquility, Enslaved, Goat Whore, In Extremo, Insomnium, Corpiclani, Meshuga, Necrophobic, Obscura, Octobertide, Rhapsody, Septic Flesh, ooh, that's a good one, Sepultura, and Sonata Arctica. Now, there's some pretty excellent stuff here. Of course, you can't beat Cannibal Corpse. I've seen them live like 3 times already, and every time has been killer. Dark Tranquility, you know, always good. Goat Whore, seen them live before, they're pretty good. Insomnium, I think they're playing down here in September, so that's a good chance. Meshuga, never seen live before, but I want to so bad. Septic Flesh, a really great symphonic metal band from, I believe, Greece. And don't know much about Sepultura live, although I imagine there's probably some fun to be had there. So, like I said, it's just the first 16 bands, so this is already a pretty strong lineup, and I'm kind of curious as to what more they could have in the pipeline for the next couple waves of announcements. So now let's cruise on over to Alex. You see what I did there? That was a pun. Look, I'm funny sometimes, okay? I swear. But anyway, let's go over to Alex to see what he thinks of this excellent cruise.
70,000 tons of metal. Yet another, festival on a cruise liner. And this one sways to the more extreme metal side of things with bands like Enslaved and Goat Whore and Insomnium, which I do hear good things about. There are some heavy hitters here with Meshuggah and Cannibal Corpse and the band called Sepultura with, is it the drummer that's the only surviving original member or something? Like the guitarist? I don't know. But this lineup, it's all right if you're into more of the extreme kind of death metal. But personally, I'm more into the Cruise to the Edge type lineups, a.k.a. the Cruises, where Mike Portnoy brings three bands with him. I'm not trying to joke. I actually think that's really cool. I like all his projects. So, back to y'all.
Thank you very much for your input. Our next news topic, another festival announcement. This time, an exclusively hip-hop one. Day and Night.
Day and Night.
Mark, don't finish that thought. I will steal all your alcohol if you do. But anyway, yeah, the second edition of the festival, which premiered in 2017, originally a 2-day event. Now this is expanded to a 3-day event, taking place September 8th through 10th at Angel Stadium in Orange County, California. So for your three big day headliners, Friday, you got Travis Scott. Saturday, you got Chance the Thin-Skinned Pansy, who apparently is also a rapper.
Yeah.
And Sunday, Kung Fu Kenny! And how about the rest of this lineup? There's, again, quite a bit to go through here.
Let's see. We got YG. We got Little Uzi Vert.
Waking up rats with soupies.
You got Kodak Black. Right, you got Khalid. Post Malone, 21 Savage, SZA, I say Rashad. Oh hey, two other TDB top dog artists, man. I might play with Kendrick. Now who knows? So you got Playboi Carti, got Metro Boomin.
If young Vic Metro Mensa. Don't trust you, I'm gonna.
You got World Sweatshirt, B&B Rock. Let's see, shit, a Boogie with the Hoodie.
Yeah.
Let's see, shit. Maiden and a bunch of other motherfuckers whose name I either don't recognize because there's a lot of them.
What about Maiden TYO?
Oh, him too.
Or Rich Chiga. And oh my god, fucking Puya.
Who?
Remember, I brought this up in the album roundup. He had a guest verse on the latest volumes release. The man who loudly declared, "When I get home, let the ding-a-ling swing."
Oh, that's the guy. Oh.
Bad first impression, damn. Dude. Bad first impression. And yeah, of course, Rich the Kid, Smoke Perp, and then a bunch of other stuff I'm not familiar with.
What? Bunch of names that I, you know, like, that are kind of unknown to me. I don't know who should. Who the fuck should. We should Boozy. Who the fuck is that?
I don't know. Maybe that's the drunk Shabazz Palaces. Squid Nice, Trill Sammy, Ishmael Raps. Oh, hey, JIDK is down on there.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The guy, like, those soundtrack coming soon.
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay then. But yeah, it's a very interesting lineup with some big names and some unknowns that I don't know about, but.
Oh, hey, Father. They're also on the Adult Swim singles for this year.
Hey, Father?
Yeah.
Okay, this one too. This one I don't recognize. And...
Well, I'm sure whoever wants to, you know, fill themselves in on this name literally has like 2 months from here to, you know, get accommodated with all this. Although I don't recommend going through the backlog of Lil Uzi Vert, because let's be honest, there probably isn't anything worth in there. Push me to the edge. All my friends are dead. Oh, whatever that fucking song is. Exactly. See, even Mark is terrified. And now for the last story of the week. Let's talk about music venue bookings. Now, when you're talking very big national and international touring artists, booking shows can sometimes be quite a bit of a nightmare. There are so many middlemen that have to get in the way in terms of, you know, your managers, promoters, the actual venue owners, whoever does concessions, shit, probably the company president's grandma, valets, just, there's a lot of stuff here, a lot of people, you know, that a lot of shit has to go through, so, it's kind of a miracle that any kind of big national tours get pulled off at all, what with all the logistical nightmare that it is. And here in both America and to a certain extent overseas, two of the bigger venue operators out there are AEG Live and Madison Square Garden Entertainment, or MSG Entertainment for short. Apparently, the two companies have been in a bit of a turf war because they have been, you know, sort of blocking artists from performing at one company's venues if they perform at the venues of the other company. For example, Madison Square Garden reportedly would not book acts at, you know, their namesake venue, which, just as a quick reminder, can seat just shy of 21,000 individuals in one go. Yeah, apparently the company was refusing to book acts there if they played the Staples Center in LA, which is owned by AEG, instead of another MSG-owned venue called The Forum. Now, just to put some numbers in perspective, The Forum can seat just over 17,500, while the Staples Center can seat pretty much exactly 21,000. And if you want some examples of other companies or venues owned by these companies, because there's a fucking lot. Naturally, MSG also owns the famous Radio City Music Hall in New York, and AEG Live actually owns a venue in my neck of the woods. This big venue downtown, the American Airlines Arena, which plays host to all kinds of basketball games and, you know, big arena concerts. But now, AEG has instituted a policy earlier this month that is taking this turf war overseas. Apparently, if any artists get booked to play The Forum, owned by MSG, AEG will bar them from playing a London venue called the O2 Arena, which seats approximately 20,000 individuals. Now, you might think this is not a big deal because, you know, obviously they own a lot of big venues, but here's the thing. The closest venue in size that exists within the London area is the Wembley Arena, which only seats about 12,500.
Oh, damn. Oh, wow. Okay. That's big.
Yeah, it's a big drop down from 20,000. And I gotta be honest, this kind of turf war is kind of like, this is like almost like some Crips and Bloods shit, except it's mega multi-billion dollar corporations.
And now you mentioned that, and I just imagine them going, and I imagine AEG going, hey, you play Madison Square Garden, this is our turf, you play with us, only us, you can't play by us, we'll fucking shoot you. Well, then, okay, I'm not gonna shoot them, but it's like, you go with them, you can't play here no more, say goodbye to your fans, they have money, you play with us, only us, and then they go to Madison Square Garden, like, you gonna play with, look, we pay to play only our arenas, our stages. Not them AFG fuckers. You play for us. You got that?
Yes, yes, I got it. Please don't hurt me. But yeah, there's just, and it's even getting to the point where big concert promoter Live Nation are threatening a lawsuit against AEG's, you know, move involving the O2 Arena. Because apparently, as we mentioned, there isn't a lot of venues in London that come anywhere near close to the O2 Arena's capacity. So this kind of barring is apparently going to violate antitrust laws. Now, this isn't the first time Live Nation's done this. They actually tried before when AEG tried to force J. Cole to play at both the Staples Center in LA and the O2 as well. Now, this whole thing strikes me as just incredibly petty on the part of everyone involved. Like, guys, touring is already hard enough. as we mentioned, there's so many middlemen and so much shit that has to be just on point and on time, you know, and you also have to worry about whether or not your artist is even mentally sane, you know, before they go full Kanye on everyone. And it's like, isn't this just throwing an unnecessary wrench in the machine? You just sound like kids at this point. Like, you're upset that you could... Like, little Billy is upset that he couldn't build a sandcastle as good as Brian's, so he just kicks over Brian's sandcastle to make himself feel a tiny bit better. Guys, grow up, man.
And little Billy gets the belt for doing that shit. And also, since you mentioned if AEG and MSG, damn, are like the Crimson of Bloods, what that makes Rock Nation, like, fuck it, I don't know, I'm thinking too much about this shit. The all plaid game or some shit. Yeah, pretty much that.
Yeah, just at the end of the day, all we can really say is everyone here can go fuck themselves. Like, you're just making this difficult. It's just more extraneous work on yourselves, and more importantly, it's a barrier to us who just want to, you know, go out and enjoy seeing your artists live. We'll give you money for it, like, but just don't do this shit, man. It's annoying. And highly inefficient and a waste of resources.
Y'all sound like petty motherfuckers.
Yeah, well, that's music for you, I guess. And that about covers all the news topics for this week. So now there's just one more point of business to deal with, and that is the new album releases for the week of July 14th, 2017. Starting from the top, we have a new album from post-hardcore act Silverstein titled Dead Reflection. The self-titled album from producer Muramasa. We have a new album from metal band In This Moment, titled Ritual. The latest release from ongoing Japanese sludge metal act Boris, titled Dear. We have the sophomore album from rapper French Montana, called Jungle Rules. And last but not least, we have the latest double release from experimental hip-hop act Shabazz Palaces, Quasars Born on a Gangster Star, and Quasars vs. the Jealous Machines. So, that'll basically about do it for this week. So, this is where we clear house and get the hell out of here. So, Mark, where can they find you on the internet?
As usual, on Twitter at Mac2HybridMedia. Also, find me on my site, TheMyHybrid1, at TheHybrid1.com. And as usual, like, I do got, and it's the time I got shit coming up soon. Like, right now, I got my view of the missing Spider-Man Homecoming post today. Well, at time's recording, story two, or fetching the Money Dance arc, chapter two will be released Friday, part one available now. The read.
Good to know. You should read that. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Rob Barracuda. You can email me if you have any questions, comments, or concerns regarding the site or specifically music stuff in the podcast, robert@surrealresolution.com. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video goes up every Friday on my YouTube channel, which you can find by searching Rob Barracuda or Decibel Boost Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell tab so you can always be notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up. And, of course, this is the official music podcast of Surreal Resolution, which you can follow on Twitter at SurrealRezo. Find online at www.surrealresolution.com. And find the podcast on its own subdomain, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. Where are you there? Be sure to check out our other great podcast content. If you like gaming, check out The Training Stage. If you like movies, check out Salty Flicks. If you like anime, check out Podcast ONA. And, of course, be sure to check out a lot of our great written content. We'll be continuing our weekly write-ups of My Hero Academia Season 2 sometime this week. And, of course, I'll have a review of the new Shabazz Palaces double releases. So, keep an eye out for that, kids. Be sure to jump into the Discord chat because reasons. And, of course, shout-out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week's episode of Decibel Boost, episode 42. So, until next time, seriously, what even is Apollo Gauntlet about?
Cocoa Puffs?